we've been talking about what is truth. John 18:38. The man, the governor of the country, the area, the province, that had power for Jesus to be crucified, he said to Jesus, after talking to Jesus and Jesus answering him, the man said, what Jesus said was, I came to bear witness to the truth. And the man said, what is truth? That's what we've been talking about. Let's talk about it a little more. What is truth? Father, we're asking you to reveal truth to us. Make it so clear and so obvious, and help us to be valiant for the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Just need to repeat a couple of things. What we think is what we believe. What we believe is what we live. We have to be careful of what we're feeding on. I watch TV, but I'm careful. There's some things I can't watch. Brother DBJ was over at my house the other day. We were watching something, and I just said, I don't feel good about this. And he goes, neither do I. And we just turned it off. It was like, we're done. You know what I'm saying? We got to be careful what we believe. We got to be careful what we feed on, what we think about, because that is what we live. I want to give you this thought, and then I want to talk about it. But I want to read some verses, but I want to give you this thought. There are intrusive thoughts. In other words, there are, like, you love Jesus, right? But you don't find yourself always thinking Jesus' thoughts. Okay? Why? We say we love him. Okay? Let's say I say I love Sue, but I see a woman with clothes on that's like tattooed to her body. Okay? Did I quit loving Sue? Or is there a intrusive thought? Something's trying to take my thoughts somewhere else. Do you understand? Why do billboards, why do advertisements have pretty women on them all the time? What do they have to do with a razor? What do they have to do with a tire? What do they have to do with a roof? I don't get it. What do they have to do with yard maintenance? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Because they're drawing your attention. Okay? Well, the enemy hates God because he's a liar. John 8:44, Jesus said, he is the father of lies. Because truth doesn't live in him. He knows truths, but he twists it. You ever met somebody that they twist the truth? I just had a customer Friday night. You were at my house, right, DBJ? And he was twisting the truth. I didn't exactly handle it the way Jesus would, okay? I have a hard time with somebody lying or saying I said something that I didn't say and twisting it so that it fits what they want. So I had to repent, you know? And I had to send him a text the next day because he wouldn't answer his phone and apologize in a text. Even though I think he's more guilty than me, that has nothing to do with my relationship with God. And it wants to steal my peace, my joy, my presence of God. So it's like, oh no, I'm going to admit my part and say I was wrong. Now, what he does is between him and God. What we think is what we believe. And what we believe, you see, what we think, it's like it ends up, if we keep thinking on it, we end up believing it. Do you understand? I told you about when I was a toolmaker in this shop, you know, there's like 70 guys there. And I'm sorry. I'm a bad guy. I told you. I am not the example of Christ. I'm just a sinner for some reason Jesus chose to put up here. I don't know why. Now watch this. So I'm a bad guy, okay? We're in this shop one day, and I had heard this, and I thought, power of suggestion. I said, I wonder if it'll work. So let's say I chose him. I don't remember who it was, but I told this guy, I said, are you feeling okay? And he goes, and I had already told this to other people. I said, let's try this. I said, do you feel okay? And he goes, yeah, I feel, you don't look okay. Are you sure? You know, like, okay. And he goes, no, I'm fine. So I had some other people say the same thing to him. After about the third person, the guy was feeling sick and went home. It was a power of suggestion. Do you know that that's exactly how the devil works? He puts thoughts in your mind. The Bible talks about it's like somebody sowing seed, and he goes and he sows seed in your field, and then it brings forth stuff, and then you wonder, why is this growing in my life? Why am I going here? Why am I thinking this? Okay? So as we think, we end up believing. If we keep thinking on it, we got to break agreement with those thoughts. Somebody was talking about that earlier. I was hoping that this would help. There are intrusive thoughts, lies that the enemy is trying to get us to believe. We can break agreement with them. They are not our thoughts. Look over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, please. Luke 10, 19. Are you there? It's right after Luke 10, 18. Okay, does that help you get there? Luke 10, 19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm not going to spend all this time talking on each one of these. I'm going to talk, say whatever he wants. But if you take these verses and you meditate on them and you begin to think on them, and as you do, it's going to change the way you think. You're going to realize you don't have to be a ping pong ball in the game between God and the devil. Do you understand? The devil wants to just knock you all over the place like a ping pong ball. And we let him if we don't take authority over our own thoughts, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians. John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Sleep will cure that. Rest is even better. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Somebody talked about this. Somebody made a comment on this, I think in Sunday school or right before Sunday school. I just thought it was neat that how God brought it back up. For though we walk in the flesh, we live in this body, we do not war after the flesh. You can't beat the devil up. Right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. What are the weapons? How do we fight the devil? But our weapons are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. What is it that's got you bound in life? Do you know Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? Jesus, it's my sin that killed you. Would you please forgive me? And he's like, I've been waiting your whole life for this day. Of course I forgive you. He says, now I'm going to begin a job of cleaning you. I'm going to begin to work in your life to make you look just like me. You're going to smell like me, you're going to think like me, you're going to look like me, you're going to walk like me. I'm talking about Jesus now, not Harvey. I'm thinking Jesus. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. When we first started coming into this, you know, what do they call it? Something warfare? Spiritual warfare? We were in this church over in Flint. People talked about the spiritual warfare, and there's this one woman. Oh, I feel sorry for her. She thought spiritual warfare, like the devil's in everything. So she would, like, be trying to cast demons out of everything, you know. And the lady was yelling, screaming at quoting scripture and yelling. The lady ended up having a mental breakdown. She actually got overcome by demons because that's all she focused on was demons. That's all she thought about. I don't have to worry about demons. We're going to show you a verse. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The only power the devil has is to suggest things, and then we believe them. We just gave him power in our lives. We just let him come live in us, even if it's momentarily. And then he takes us where we don't want to go. It costs us something we don't want to pay. He takes us somewhere, and we end up staying there longer than we wish we would have. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. That's because he's putting thoughts in our head. How do we overcome sin? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because lies bind you up. The devil hates your guts. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Yes, you are made in the image of God. I just want to make sure I got everybody's attention. Okay? Yes, you are made in the image of God. You have power, Jesus said in Matthew 28, I think it's verse 18, all power is given unto me. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, I'm giving you all power over the enemy. But you get to choose what you're going to think on. Remember, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are we thinking on? I know I bring this up probably every time I ever talk. I can't help it. It's where God found me. I was a drug dealer. My mind was full of the devil. I even sang songs, rock and roll songs about the devil. You know, I told y'all last week, whatever that guy's, Rolling Stones, you know, this song. What I'm saying is, it's like I had all these, that was where my thoughts were all the time. I used to look at Playboys and Penthouse and all that stuff. Okay, do you understand? And it's like when I met Jesus, I was like, wow, I met Jesus. I met God. I met the most incredible person I've ever met because he made me. And then he knows all this bad stuff that I've done, thought, hurt other people, steal, selfish, everything you could do wrong, I've done it. And then he came to me, I want you. I'm like, you want me? Oh, God, as soon as I saw him come walking toward me. That's when I got saved. He came walking toward me. I didn't have to hear a word. I knew he was holding out his hands to me, just like I do with my little grandkids. And as soon as he was like, I knew he wanted me, I just started confessing my sin. And I mean, let's get real, not like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry. Okay? It's like, God, but I did this. Will you forgive me? And I did that. And I heard this one. For 15 minutes. And I'm naming them as fast as I can. And he just kept standing there. I'm like, dude, how do you get over this? Somebody who loves me in spite of all the stuff that others reject me for. And that I even get mad at myself for and don't want to think about it, so I got to do more drugs to not think about it, to get over the pain. Do you understand? So what changed? I meet Jesus by reading the Bible. I meet Jesus smoking a joint, reading the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm reading all these verses. And it's like, wow. And all I could, it was like, Man, he doesn't turn anybody away. Look at, they're coming to him from all walks of life. He doesn't turn anybody away. I wonder if anybody out there needs to hear this message. I wonder if anybody needs to know that they are loved for who they are. I wonder if they need to get a taste of that through you. If you could just, you and I, not you, you and I, could just, God, would you fill me up? Would you just like, I'm willing to let you love Larry through me. And he's like, good, because I want to love Larry. He needs to know that he's loved, that I believe in him, that I accept him. He needs to know that I love him 100% right now. I'm not going to love him more when he does better. I love him right now. Even when in his heart he's resisting me, fighting me, hurting other people, selfish, treating his wife like a dog, you know? You understand? That's what both the hitmen basically told me that I brought to Jesus. That's what drug dealers and pimps that I brought to Jesus and streetwalkers, whatever you call them, prostitutes, that's what they've said. Man, if God could love you, maybe he could love me. But I had to get open and real. I know y'all have heard it so much, but in the beginning, I didn't want to tell everybody all my past. I mean, you probably have a hard time believing that because you've heard me say it so much. But in the beginning, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was embarrassed as everybody else. But he said, if you let them know, then that will give them hope for them. You mean he loves you? And you did that? And you what? You what? Man, maybe there's hope for me. You get it? Okay, where were we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Is that where we were? Good. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not yelling at demons. I'm telling you, get out of here! And, hey, they're not deaf. You don't got to yell. But our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting, I want you to get this verse, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 6 simply says, you really want to beat the devil up? He said, then obey the truth. Because that gets revenge on the devil. The devil's like, no! I didn't want you to do that! I didn't want you to think that! I didn't want you to release that! No! And you're like, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Somebody shared this thought with me. Jesus loves, let's see, Jesus knows me, this I love, wants me to walk with him above. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But turn it around. Jesus knows me, this I love, wants me to walk him above. You see? It's like, Jesus knows me. And he wants me. What are you thinking on? What are we thinking on? What are we thinking on? You see, there's nothing wrong with watching TV, reading books, playing video games. There is a problem when they occupy your mind and they take you away from God. Or they get you so occupied God can't get in there. And we got to be careful what we take in. That's why you got to be careful who you hang around. You know, we used to teach the kids when we had a bus route, we would pick up kids and bring them to church because the parents wouldn't come. So We call them bus routes, you know. We go around on Saturday and tell the kids, I'll be here on Sunday. And then on Sunday, we go pick up the kids. Well, I would do a program in the bus as I drove down the road, you know. We'd be driving down the road, and I'd be singing, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. And I'm driving, you know. Wheels on the bus go round and round all the way to church. And, of course, the kids are all singing with me. And then we'd sing like, the devil is a, let's see, how's it go? The devil is a sly old fox, like to catch a man, put him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all the tricks he played on me. Glad I got salvation. Glad I got salvation. Glad I got salvation. I'm trusting in the Lord. You know? So we'd sing like all these songs. Okay? And when we do these little things like if a beer truck or a liquor truck came by, all the kids would run to that side of the bus and we'd yell out, we hate beer! We hate beer! It was so much fun. Because most of them, their parents drank and made them live in nothing and took away what they could have because they spent it on someone else called Antichrist spirits that we put in a bottle. When they say food and spirits at a restaurant, they ain't lying. We just teach the kids stuff, you know. And I would love on these kids as best I could. I mean, you could only do so much because they're not your kids. But, you know, it's like getting things in their mind, getting thoughts in their mind, letting them know there's hope, letting them know there's somebody that loves them, letting them know that there's somebody that cares for them. He's right there all the time talking to them about prayer. How'd we get off on that? I don't know.
Probably. He's a troublemaker, you know. He thinks he gets to do what he wants, you know.
Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. We have imaginations. Nope. Don't want to think about that. Nope. I only want Jesus living in me. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God tries to come against truth. Now, I like this next one. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to take our thoughts captive. Sometimes I just picture all these thoughts over my head like in a cartoon, you know. Boop, 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 boop. In a little circle. And I just picture. I just say, Jesus. I find myself, where am I? Why am I thinking all this? It's the devil. Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me every day. The guy's looking for someone to live through. God is looking for somebody to live through. Who do you want to let live through you? So I'm giving you a little key here of how to let them live through you. What are you thinking on? That's why we need to read the Word of God, because it's pregnant with the life of God. And when we plant it inside of us, we meditate on it, we think about it, it's going to begin to take root and grow in us and bring forth a God crop. A bunch of God's going to grow in us. You're welcome. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James 4, 7 and 8. Anybody memorize that yet? James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There's 5 points in these two verses. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God, you are God and I am not. This is your life. What do you want to do with it? You already bought my life on the cross. Because I had sold it to sin. I had sold it to the devil. You came and redeemed me. You bought me back. It's not my life anymore. It belongs to you, Jesus. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. You are God. I am not. You get to say what happens, not me. I can pray and tell you what I want, but then I'm going to bow to your will, what you want. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Nope. Don't want any part of you. And draw nigh to God. And he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. Old Snake Breath has to run. Old Smutty Face. Okay? Old Bad Breath. Okay? He has to run. You draw nigh to God. You draw near to God. He's going to draw near to you. Do you want Jesus to draw near to you? You have to make a choice. He's right here. Who can I do this with? Okay, let's do it with you. Okay? All right. Jesus, let's see. Illustration. I got to think. Thank you. Okay. Here we are in life. Jesus is right here by us all the time. Doesn't he say Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Doesn't he say in Luke 15:31, my son, thou art ever with me? Doesn't he say that? Thank you. Now, oh, just, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know. Thank you for not being silly. Okay. Thank you for obeying Mom. Okay, you ready? So here we are, and here's Jesus, but do you feel Jesus all the time? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Do you sense him all the time? Are you aware of his presence all the time? Okay. Well, what does the word say there in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8? It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I don't want the devil. You first got to make that choice. I don't want the devil. And then what's the second choice? He says, if you draw near to me, hold your arms up. He says, turn me. He said, if you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. He said, but I'm here, but you may not be aware of my presence because you haven't drawn near to me. First, you have to break agreement with the negative if you want the positive. You have to break agreement with the lie to come in agreement with the truth. Do you understand? You have to break agreement with the flesh to live in the eternal. Do you get it? But if he hasn't made that choice, God's right here, but it's like, we're not aware of him being here because we're caught up in all these other things. Does that make sense? What we're thinking on. Okay? But he promises, if you break agreement with old devil and you then draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you, and then we're going to hang out together. See? First John chapter 4 and verse 4. First John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I want you to understand something. When we get saved, God comes to live inside of us. We're saved. Our debt is paid. We're forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. We already have eternal life. We already have it. Now God says, I'm going to bring you into something deeper. I'm going to bring you into a real relationship with me. He said, you've met me. But it's like when you first meet that heartthrob that maybe you married. And you think, oh, I love her. Or, I sure have warm, fuzzy feelings for her. But as you spend time with her, you get to know her. Do you understand? Well, it's the same thing with God. We have to spend time with him. And he says, okay, but there's some things in order for us to hang out together. For example, if you came to my house, like Brother DBJ, I invite him over to my house every week. Because God has put him in my heart. I love him. Okay? I invite him to my house every week. But if I went to turn on my westerns, which I like a lot of westerns. I watch Perry Mason and westerns. and then I watch Rockford Files, then I watch Westerns, and then I watch football games, but I watch Westerns, and you understand? And we watch The Saint, and then we watch Westerns. But if he didn't like Westerns, because I've had people that I've invited over, and they didn't like my Westerns. They wanted color TV. Man, I like black and white. Because the color TV, people sleep together. And they lie. And they're rebellious to authority. And they don't talk about God in a lot of the color stuff that's on TV. But in the black and white, they're more respectful of God and honorable and obey their parents. And not like they're perfect or something. You got, what's his name? Matt Dillon and Kitty in the bar, I mean, my wife will bring that up, throw that up in my face. I say, I know, but it's a Western. And so y'all can pray for me. I'm seriously, though. What I'm saying is if I invited him over, because I've invited people over, there was a guy I invited over for, he didn't want to watch that stuff. Or my wife and I, if she comes in, I'm sorry, I can't watch these reality shows. I don't want to watch Survivor. I don't want to watch Idiot Test. I don't want to watch Brain Games. I don't want to watch all these whatever she, wants to watch. I don't, these female movie things. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. Now, there's times she gets me, and we watch Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and they're dancing, and I'm laughing and having fun. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you come to my house, you know what we're going to watch? Westerns. If you don't like Westerns, I ain't going to invite you back, If you don't like them, just keep your mouth shut. Okay? I mean, let's get real. I'm trying to be honest. I'm not trying to, I don't be funny, but I mean, I'm being honest. I'm trying to help you understand something. God is perfect. Are we perfect? God is holy. Are we holy outside of Him? Okay. God is righteous and all the things, all His thoughts are perfect and right. Ours are ours, however I say it. You know what I mean? Do we do that? No. So who needs to change? Yeah, me. We all do, right? So what I'm saying is for us to hang out with God, He's like, I'm going to save you from all this sin. I'm going to save you for the penalty of sin. What I'm saying is God wants to make us more like Him. So God begins dealing with our lives about things in us. But I want you to know, have you ever memorized Romans 6:14? It says, for sin shall not have dominion or power over you. Have you ever read that? Do you believe it? Because there's people that don't believe it, and therefore they don't live it. You know why? Because of what we're talking about. That's why God has me doing this as a series. What is truth? What we think is what we end up believing, and then what we believe is what we live. So what are we thinking on? Our thoughts need to change. Turn over to John chapter 14. Let's read a bunch of verses in a row out of the book of John. Well, at least that's where we're going to start. John. John 14. I think it's verse 16, but I'll get there in a second. John 14, let's start with verse 6, and then we'll go to 16. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Is there any other way but Jesus? I'm asking you. Is Obama a way? Muhammad? Confucius? Whatever? Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. Is there another truth besides Jesus? He said, I am the life. You can exist without Jesus because He made you. But you can't live without Jesus. Because in Him, John 1:4 says, in him was life. Anita said something yesterday, and I just want to comment on it, and that's this. When I met Jesus, and I was so amazed at who he is in reality, because all that I've been taught for 20 years hadn't done me a bit of good, okay, because there was no reality. It was just like rules. Religion is God's rules without relationship. There's nothing wrong with religion if it's based on relationship with God. And then true religion comes out of that, God's ways, following God from the heart. But when you just have rules, religious rules, God's rules put on you, you have to, you must, you can't. There's no relationship. I remember one of my daughters one time was having a hard time in her life and was being tempted to go away, and she wanted to rebel against us, and we said, go ahead. Well, I want to move out. I want to do this. We said, go ahead. And so she did. And she went and lived with this other dad. And it wasn't very, and he gave her everything she wanted until she came there. Then he used her like a slave to babysit the other kids. And all of a sudden, she wanted to move back home. So she moved back home, and here's dad, who didn't understand all about relationship. I just understood about rules, you know. I had a relationship, but it was like I was still stuck in a bunch of rules. And she's like, man. It's like, over there, I just got used. Over here, it's like I got all these rules. You know, they don't have those rules over there. I get to do whatever I want, but I was more unhappy over there than here. And so she got to a place, you know, at first she was thankful to be back. Then she got to a place where she wanted to move out again because she didn't like the rules. Because she wanted to go do things, whatever. And she said one day to her mom, she says, I want to move out. She says, I want to rebel. She said, but I can't because I love you and I don't want to hurt your heart. See, we let her move out and go live with this other dad. And it was really Sue's decision. And Sue said, you know, I love you, and I'm not mad at you, because, you know, girl's like, are you mad at me? No, but I'm hurting, but you go ahead. Does that sound like God to you? He says, no, you go ahead. You want to do that? He says, I'm giving you a free will. I'm not going to make you do what's right. You have a free will. He said, but you're hurting me. He said, but I love you so much. He said, they wrote a song after me. And it says, I'll be right here waiting for you. While you put everything else in front of me, I'll stand in line. God wants to give us power. He's already given us power over the enemy. To have that power, we got to change our thinking. Because what we end up thinking is what we end up believing, and then we end up living it. Something Anita said yesterday, that there was a number of people together, they were talking, and they were telling this girl she had a problem, and everybody was giving all these opinions. And I think Anita, I don't know if she said it to the girl or she said it to one of the ladies that gave a bunch of opinions. She said something like, because she told me, she said, I heard it here, and it made sense. She said, what does God have to say about it? Basically, I don't remember exactly how, but something like that. What does God have to say about it? Well, folks, that's what I came to the decision in 1977. I met him in 76. And when I got in church in 77, I made the decision, I'm going to base my life. Look, everything, I met Jesus, and he changed my life and everything, but I didn't get into his house. I wasn't doing everything his way. for 10 months and 3 days. And yes, I love Jesus, but I didn't have victory. I didn't have power. I lost his presence. I knew he was there, but it was like, why can't I find him? Because he was like, I'm not going to make you do what's right. He says, I love you. I want you to be motivated out of love. So he let me go for like 10 months and do things my way. It didn't work so well. He didn't leave me. He was still there talking to me. But when I got into church, I made up my mind, you know what? Everything about Jesus has been incredible. I want to just, I don't like my life anyway. So here, I'm going to give you my life. Now, how am I supposed to live? Because I can't look at all the church people because they don't seem to have you any more than I do. Okay? I'm sorry. Can we get real? Or do we need to play the little religious game and smile? Do the Chinese bobblehead stuff? I can't handle that. You understand? So I said, God, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know how to live. I've never found anybody that's living it. But I want to get back to that place where I was with you. And when I got my heart right, you know, got in church and repented and said, okay, I was like right back at that sweet spot. And I went, how do I live here? And he said, I gave you a book. And everything you need is right in here. He said, and it's not just rules of how to live. He said, but if you actually put this inside of you, you're letting me grow inside of you. And it will empower you. It will be right there. It will become part of you. You'll become part of me. That's where we were getting ready to go. Thank you, sir. It sanctifies you, he said. Okay, so let's read these verses, okay? John 14:6. I'll try not to comment. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:16-17. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he, that other comforter, may abide or live with you forever. Who is he? Even, he said, one of his names is the Spirit of Truth. And then it says, now, the world cannot receive him. Are you listening to me? The world can't receive that Spirit of Truth because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth or liveth with you and shall be in you. When you get saved, he comes to live inside of you as the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15:26. Are you there? I'm sorry. 15:26. Okay, you ready? But when the Comforter is come, you see, Jesus is telling them this is going to happen because the Holy Spirit didn't come until Jesus ascended. In other words, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, then the Holy Spirit came. Okay? That's the day of Pentecost, blah, 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 Acts chapter 2, whatever. We're not going to get into all that. But when the Comforter's come, whom I will send unto you from the Father God, who is he? Even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, Jesus. John 16:13. Howbeit, or moreover, or when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come. I wonder if Jesus has a stuttering problem. He keeps calling him the Spirit of Truth. Maybe that's his name. We call him the Holy Spirit. Maybe we ought to call him the Spirit of Truth. Because we've all lived with the spirit of deception, the spirit of lies, have we not? The spirit of error. Okay, why don't we live with the Spirit of Truth? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Pastor, I don't know what I should do. I could do this, I could do that. I said, what down? I said, have you prayed? Yeah. But down in here, What do you think? Well, I think this, but I want... Down in here, you know what you should do. What you want is your flesh. Okay. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He's not selfish. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Make them holy. Purify them. Set them apart. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God, man, that's what I want to get in on is the wrath of God, huh? Okay, so watch. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, things that are not like God, unrighteousness of men, men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They take the truth and they twist it. Romans 1:25. Talks about men who change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Anita gave testimony this morning in Sunday school and said, you know, I was selfish. And she said, you know what I did? She said, when I had my kids, I made my kids number one in my life above God. I believed in God, but I lived for my kids. My whole motivation for life was my kids. She said, now that I don't have my kids, God has helped me to realize that He's a jealous God. And now I realize I was putting my kids above God. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, upon them will come tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. That's why we need to look at our lives in light of the Word. So like when Anita was hearing all these people, this girl's got a problem in her marriage, maybe, whatever it is, and all these women were telling her, well, I think I ought to do this. I think I ought to treat them that way. And I think I ought to do this. And Anita's like, you know what? Those are all opinions. She said, why don't we read the Word and let's find out what the Word has to say. Let's base what we're doing on the Word. Our thoughts is what we're going to live. Because we're going to believe them and then we're going to live them. When you realize... Here, let's pray a prayer. I feel like God wants you to do this. You ready? Dear Holy Spirit, please help me to be aware of the source of my thoughts, where my thoughts are coming from. Help me to recognize the lies of the devil. And then help me to break agreement with that. And to turn unto you and your word so I can know and live the truth. Thank you, Jesus, that you're bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. Guys, it is so simple. We make it hard. The devil still attacks me every day. I'm going like, what are you doing here? Get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. I only want my wife and Jesus. I only want Jesus living in me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I want. But I have to keep making that choice all the time because we are, what's that word? Bombarded. Is there a better word, Tom? Bombarded. Attacked. Invaded. All the time. Nope, not conquered. Bombarded is different than being conquered. Bombarded means they're simply coming at you. Conquered means you were overcome. You don't have to be. You're assaulted. Very good word. We're assaulted all the time. Oh, dude is so smart. Sometimes he's like me and he's smart aleck, but he is pretty little quick little dude. Thank you. Thank you. Romans 9:1. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Does your conscience bear witness with the truth? That's how you live in peace. Not arguing. Cooperating. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity or sin, but rejoiceth in the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Folks, do you want Jesus? Did he say that he is the truth? Okay, I'm getting ready to mess with you. How much Jesus do you want? How much truth do you want? What area of your life you don't want him to mess with? Nope, don't go there, Lord. I already know what I... Nope, don't want to think about that. Nope, don't open that door. Nope. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Dear Holy Spirit, what is hiding in me? I don't want anything to come between me and Jesus. Amen. But we have renounced, broken agreement with the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. That means twisting the Scripture. But by manifestation or a clear revelation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is a good accountability verse. We make ourselves accountable to others. I will say it again. I have not arrived. I make mistakes. I don't do everything right. When the other night, Brother DBJ and Brother Tim and my wife got to see a good example of me being a good, you know, good example of a sinner when that customer was lying and being unreasonable. And I tried to be kind, but my wife says, Harvey, you were too tired to deal with him, you know. Nobody needed to say anything inside. I knew I did wrong. You understand? So what I'm saying to you is, I'm telling you, when you see me do something wrong, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to pray for me that God would show it to me. Okay? If I continue to keep doing that wrong, and the Lord moves on you to come and confront me, I'm not telling you I'm going to necessarily handle it right. I don't always handle it right. Do I? No. I don't always handle it right. Can't get a word out of her till that time. Okay. Take note. Okay. So here's the thought. Come and tell me, if God leads you to, come and speak the truth to me in love, Brother Harvey. And I've had people do this here, and I appreciate it. I may not appreciate it when you come and say it. Sometimes I want to argue. I want to defend. I want to justify, well, or I want to put it back on you. Well, you think, well, look at you. Here's a mirror. You know, I got flesh just like everybody. Can we get real? Okay? But I want you to come and tell me, because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but speak the truth in love. Don't come and tell me how ugly I am. Just come and say, you know, I bet your mom really liked pork chops, you know. That's how she got the dog to play with you. You were so ugly, she hung a pork chop around your neck to get the dog. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, be kind, but speak the truth in love. And then pray, after you do it, pray that God would get through my thick skin and thick head and thick heart so that I would hear it and receive it. Okay? Do you hear me? We need accountability. There's things I don't see. I think I'm a pretty good guy. And so when I see sin, I'm always like, what? You know? I'm sorry. I'm just telling you how it is, you know? Probably none of you have to deal with pride as bad as I do. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So I'm trying to let you know we all have blind spots. If I say something to you, I try not to. I pray for you. I see stuff all the time, and I just pray because you know what? I love you, and I'm not God's, you know, hatchet man, go around straightening everybody out. That's not my job. I'm not a God cop. If I see it, it's like, oh, man, they don't see that. Oh, they're hurting. Oh. And so I start praying that God will help you to see it. God will open your eyes, and God will do whatever it takes. One of my favorite prayers is, God, bring them to the end of himself in the foot of the cross. But if God moves on me to come say something to you, I'm going to do my best to speak the truth in love. See, if you want, I'm giving you a key, and I think we'll end on this. If you want to tell somebody what they're doing wrong, that is your flesh or the devil. If you don't want to tell them, but you know you should, that's God. You got it? Well, I don't want to tell you, then don't. Keep your mouth shut. Because that's just your flesh. You're just going to hurt them. Well, I want to tell you something. Buster. Okay? But you feel like you're supposed to say something to somebody and you don't. And God will have me do that. And I'm like inside. Sometimes I even cry when I do it. Because it's like I don't want to do it. Folks, what we keep talking about is, what is truth? How do we live the above life? How do we live the Jesus life? What are we thinking on? There's thoughts we have that we think we're right about. I go to talk to you, and you're just like me. You put up these walls. Nope. Nope. I know. Nope. I think. Nope. What I tell everybody. Nope. How's it working for you? All of us, we need help, don't we? This isn't like I'm up here saying, hey, I've arrived, and all the rest of y'all need to get on this bandwagon. I'm not, you know. We all need help. What are we thinking on? Let's get pregnant with the life of the Word of God. Let's let it dwell in us richly, Colossians says. I told God, you know what? I don't like my life, but I love your life. How do I live that? He said, well, you got to get rid of your life. So what? Commit suicide? He said, why don't you, one step at a time, replace the lies with the truth. As I bring it to your attention, break agreement with a lie, embrace the truth. I said I was going to stop here, but I want to say one more thing because I felt like God had brought this to me before. When you, Lord, you want me to say this right now? I'll just pray on it for another week. What is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth? Is it true because of a lot of people believe it? Does that make it true? I'm sorry. I want to respect the position, but the majority of people in America voted for Obama, and then they created this they even sinned more by voting for him a second time. I don't get it. It is a spirit of deception. When we reject the truth, we can't help but to believe a lie. Because the truth is here, and there's all kinds of lies. There's many ways to get to hell. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's one truth, the rest of it's lies. And it's not what Harvey says. It's what the Word of God says. It's the Word of God. He gives His Word. He's not like us. He keeps His Word. And I like the verse that Nate brought. I don't know if it's, I want to say it's Psalm 138:2, but I'm not sure if that's it. But it says, he says, I have magnified my word above my own name. His word is that important. Lord, we love you. I thank you for my family here. And Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for insight that I'm even hearing from others, and it's helping me, and I want to pray these things myself. And God, we just need you, and we just want to hang out with you. Thank you for including us in your life, Jesus. Thank you for doing everything necessary so we could be a part of your life. Thank you for giving us your life and then eternal life. And Lord, help us to walk away from here with something that would be a tool, that something that would be alive, that we can live more like you this week. We can have more victory over the devil. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. You are so awesome. I'm asking your blessing, protection, provision on everyone here. Thank you, Jesus.